Winnipeg, good morning. It's Fantastic Friday. Time for the best, and baddest program on the radio station here this morning. Let's go.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us, and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
The first day I realized I was black, it was 2000. We had just learned about blacks for the first time in second grade. At recess, all the white kids chased me into the wood chanting slave. My mother said I refused to come out for 3 hours. Said she thinks I was lost in the trees, but I just needed to be closer to my roots.
As a woman, having a boyfriend is a battle. If 70% of us are abused in a lifetime, what is the number of men doing it? The answer is not one man running faster than light to complete a mission, and that is what leaves me sick.
The second day I realized I was black was in a gas station. I only had 25 cents, so I searched what to spend it on. The cashier floated from aisle to aisle, eyes fixed on my hands. That was the first time I realized skin color was a crime.
My body has become cause to write legislation, cause for ass smacks in the back of a class. My body has demanded everything except respect. I've been asked, what makes you feel unsafe? And I struggle not to yell.
Everything. The third day I realized I was black was in an all-white cafeteria. I gathered my legs under me, made rockets on my feet, and approached a girl. She told me she was not into my type of guy. I felt the words shoot daggers into my melanin. I have never wanted to disappear so bad.
As a woman, I've learned to answer to everything except my name. Little lady is not said to mean equal, but to make sure I remember my place, I battle between wanting to own my body and accepting there is a 1 in 4 chance a man will lay claim to my skin, a plot of land for the taking.
The last day I realized I was black was in an elevator in California. To the white woman that told me she knows what it feels like to be black because she grew up poor,
I would tell you to think before you speak,
but your mind has got to be bacteria infected, and any filter through that labyrinth of nothingness might be worse than no thought at all.
There's a group of women going around the room sharing their personal definition of feminism. He is the only man in the room, and all of a sudden, the tone switches to destroying the patriarchy by annihilating all men.
Do you know what it feels like to be black? To pop lock your way in and out of hugs, it is not a problem you want to sympathize.
But to tell me you know my pain
is to stab yourself in the leg because you saw me get shot. We have two different wounds, and looking at yours does nothing to heal mine.
Never will I turn away an ally.
But when a man speaks on my behalf, that only proves my point.
Movements are driven by passion, not by asserting yourself dominant by a world that already puts you there.
You speak to no pain, you only fathom because we told you it was there.
You know nothing of silence until someone who cannot know your pain tells you how to fix it. Every day is a crucifixion when there is no regards for lying. Crossed.
I fight so my voice can be heard. I fight for the voices you silence, all in the name of what is right.
The problem is you assume this struggle is attached to a social class. I am black and bold and beautiful by nature. Ain't no income that can change that.
The problem with speaking up for each other
is that everyone is left
without a voice.
515 Portage Avenue, and this is University of Winnipeg, 4.5 floor at Centennial Manitoba Hall. Come and join us whenever you get an opportunity or get accessibility. Love and kindness. This is Ross Rico with Prince Ogona, Princess Tim Sulam, Queen Victoria, Dr. T and John, who is here but never here. Sometimes here is Princess Rachel, but always here is Princess Catherine, making sure that we stay on air. And Pierre, look out, he's coming.
I don't know what to do. I'm mad, uptight, I don't know what to do.
Listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and the radio show name is called Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
Premier waded into the discussion with his own social media video in support of the ad.
President Trump's damaging tariffs go completely against Mr. Reagan's legacy. And it's clear that these ads are working.
The video appears to imitate the Reagan ad with a Wab canoe on a tube TV and holding some papers, just like the former U.S. president. In it, the premier says Ontario's ad represents the former U.S. president's views on tariffs accurately and powerfully. He concludes by urging Doug Ford to keep the ads running, saying this country is behind you.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thinking of you, thinking of you, ooh. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
To my blood clot, bimmer, big time driller, monkey to gorilla. Who is this woman that I'm seeing in the mirror? Drink 42 and smoke cigar. Name one time where I didn't deliver. Silent figure. I was just on the ends, dropping gems with my friends. I got a 3310 and a pack of blems. Then got the gold, full black, circle back again. Rapping when nothing progressive was happening. Ooh, pain tolerance couldn't break us. Pay homage if you respect how we came up. Cool, cool. Trying to get to the paper, hitting from Jamaica, might do me a favor. True. Big simmer, dipping 10 toes in that ice cold river. Bank got bigger, been a different species. Tunes in a locker, been waiting to unleash these. It's a no show if you can't guarantee fees. I ain't got one threat to consider. Heaven and earth attached to one pillar. Rest in peace to Mac Miller. New Sims dropped to shake the whole shit up. What's next? We'll be here for months talking about prospects. Staying on my job, yes sir. And rain is against her. I'm ever resistant on my polyester. Run through the jungle, they should have never let her. Cuts and wounds, I hope never will fester. Yeah, big art collector, silent investor, film director. Beating on my chest, going ape shit, putting in a brave shit. Ain't life what you make it, yeah, it is.
Ready for this problem. Mama always taught me you don't start those, you solve them. Meet mink goblin, finish them, they wobbling. Okay, chill, they falling. Damn, shit, get off, I'm a prophet. Don't take shit, won't harm shit. Can't take the play, don't you jump in this ball pit. Used to work at Harbor Freight, but now this my office. Can you believe they pay me all this money just to talk shit? Little bitch, I'm vibing. Little bitch, we mobbing. All in got timing, well, goddamn, I'm shining. On these records, this ain't silver, ho, it's white gold. Wait till I get them diamonds, it's gonna be a chokehold. K.O. I'm a hoochie, I'm a sellout. Smell like shit every time it's me they talk out. I'm a born sinner, better get that gone. 85 burning rubber till I get back home. And bitter is the fruit that fell early. Slither with these snakes on me, Lord have mercy. Hands in this chicken, no churches. Throwing up to purge it, Lord forgive me for these urges. So who the fuck I look like if I slow up now? Talking out they neck, but my foot calm that down. Used to let that slide just to keep folks around. Now I keep the scissors in my bag in case they get loud. We pipe that smoke down. Don't get me rowdy. These hoes can't rap with me. Say that shit proudly. Bad, bad man Lowry. Surfing face in season, bitch. I even brought my Lowry's. They like my little voice. They think that shit sweet. They think they gon' beat this little caramel coochie. Well, bitch, I'm the new age Eve. Forbidden gems up my sleeve next to that 3AT. I'm a hoochie, I'm a sellout. Smell like shit every time it's me they talk out. I'm a born sinner, better get that gone. 85 burning rubber till I get back home. And bitter is the fruit that fell early. Slither with these snakes, homie, Lord have mercy. Hands in this chicken, no churches. Throwing up to purge it, Lord forgive me for these urges. Thank you.
I'm Dale Rufus, and you're listening to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9, my favorite Friday morning wake-up show.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceners, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
With the flame, feel the fire, desire the same knowledge and wisdom and understanding possessed by God, transferred to man in a script or a book or a scripture that looks like a biblical writing, inviting the hook of a song. Sing along with a strong subliminal message, divesting all men from criminal acts of the devil, revealed in revel, designed to decline the mind to a lower level. Read the Holy Quran or the Bible, because it's liable to be a revival for the weak that see our work. It'll bring infallible power. Now who wants some? Come get it. A battle is a test of wits and I'm with it. Heartbeats, torch, and I lit it. Set the world on fire, I did it. Now that it feels good, I'm heating up. I feed off knowledge and can't eat enough. Cause knowledge is infinite, suckers ain't into it. Ignorance is bliss, and they're kin to it. They party and dance, and they don't ever glance at a book or look for their mind to advance. Caught in a rut, chasing butt, trying to get a dollar or a nut. Evil feeds on the source of apathy. Weak in the mind, and of course you have to be less than a man, more like a thing. No knowledge is
the West, Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider. No, you don't want nada, none of this. Six gunning this, brother running this. Buffalo soldier, look, it's like I told you. Any damsel that's in distress, be out of that dress when she meet Jim West. Rough neck, so go check the law on the vibe. Watch your step, we'll flex and get a hole in your side. Swallow your pride, don't let your lip react. You don't wanna see my hand where my hip be at. With Artemis from the start of this, running the game. James West, taming the West, so remember the name. Now who you gonna call?
Not the GBs.
Now who you gonna call? If you ever riff with people wanna bust, break out before you get bum rushed at
the Wild Wild West.
When I roll into
the Wild Wild West.
When I stroll into
the Wild Wild West.
When I bounce into
the Wild Wild West.
Cisco, Cisco.
Good morning, Winnipeg. You're listening to my favorite radio show, Fantastic Fridays, every Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM.
In correctional facilities, cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what, I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English, even if Yella makes it a cappella. I still express you, I don't smoke weed or sets, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself, do it, spread yourself.
Think now shock out, get wash out. Watch out the kingdom out and the queen. I come out, patch out there, spread the carpet. One thing me have to tell on us, so watch out. Adam Ramsey, Adam Ramsey. Watch me now, it name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the date me a the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, them want to give me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call on me to over me, man a fight. And that now one, no time in a them life. Me no cut up, I can model every time. Absolute niceness, come with pay rhyme. First class dress code and your style a lick. The quality, I feel come back quick.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Austin. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
Hear this? It's coming your way.
Where you come from? As long as you're a black man,
a black woman or a black child.
No mind your nationality. You have got the identity.
And perspicacity.
Cause if you come from Clarendon,
don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
don't matter.
And if you come from Westmoreland,
because
you're in
really Africa. Don't matter. Coming to you all the way from West Africa in the country called Nigeria, so the brother they call Prince Ugona, coming to give you news and views man, about Africa. And maybe you might drop in a little bit about Jamaican disaster. Love and kindness.
No mind your nationality.
Yes, good morning, Rastuka, and good morning to all of our listeners. Uno kedu kekwanu. Our heart goes out to the residents in Jamaica. Jamaica Cruisin. And our first piece from Democracy Now, we speak with Mohammed Shahida, a writer and analyst from Gaza, who notes that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ordered powerful strikes on Gaza Tuesday, after Israeli officials accused Hamas of killing an Israeli soldier in Rafah.
For me, it's basically Groundhog Day because I've been here countless times. I've lived through 3 Israeli wars, 10 military operations, and 2 ground invasions. Each single one of them ended with a ceasefire agreement that Israel violated as soon as it went into effect repeatedly. And that's exactly what we see right now happening in Gaza. Since the ceasefire went into effect over 2 weeks ago, Israel violated it about 125 times, in addition to yesterday's rampage, where the IDF killed about 100 Gazans, including 35 children. We see Israel not allowing food to go in the quantities that were agreed upon, not opening the Rafah border crossing, continuing to kill people and bomb Gaza daily under different flimsy pretexts, and continuing demolition work in over 58% of Gaza that the IDF is still occupying and declaring as, quote, an extermination zone, meaning nobody is allowed to come near that area. And anyone that tries to cross is shot at or bombed or detained immediately at first sight. What basically you have right now is Trump put Netanyahu on a loose leash with the ceasefire agreement, that the only condition is that he needs to maintain the facade of the ceasefire and not to break it with outright spectacular levels of violence. So that wiggle room is there with the leash that Netanyahu is on before Trump tries to pull him back. But Netanyahu is trying to do two things. He's trying to pull Trump towards him so that he gets an additional wiggle room. So we see him trying to come up with all sorts of bogus arguments as to why Israel needs to escalate its use of violence in Gaza. And at the same time, he's also trying to chew on the leash around his neck to break off free and restore the genocide to its full intensity, exploiting incidents like that happened yesterday in Rafah, where Israel claimed that a soldier was killed by an attack from militants. But Hamas has no ability to access that area whatsoever to launch such an attack. So even if it was a Hamas militant in that area, it sounds more like something, a situation where you have isolated, disconnected, and trapped Hamas militants in the IDF-controlled depopulated areas. So something like Vietnam or Japan, where you had soldiers stuck in tunnels or jungles that didn't know that the war was over, and they carried out and conducted or adjusted their conduct accordingly to an understanding that the war was still going on. And that's the scenario that we have now in Gaza. But Israel is capitalizing on it to claim that Hamas is violating the agreement and then resume the bombing of Gaza incessantly.
Next, we speak with Noam Shuster Elias, an Israeli comedian and peace activist. Shuster Elias hopes for justice and equality for Palestinians and to make present the elephant in the room that a lot of artists in Israel prefer to ignore.
What we have seen today, it's no exception. I'm sitting here in a studio in Tel Aviv, and right outside there is the Tel Aviv Fashion Week, where people are just walking around in fashionable outfits and are the detachment from reality and what is happening just around the corner from us. It has been like this from before October 2023, and it remains today. Just the magnitude of things are just, it's just so much more heavy just sitting here and then opening my phone and seeing that Israel has killed more and more dozens of children today. And I think that my comedy has always been political. I've been very, very lucky to have Amber document this process and the rest of the amazing filmmakers that are behind this film to document this process of trying to make present the elephant in the room that most comedians in Israel, or I would say maybe a lot of artists also, prefer to ignore. And I wanted in this, through this film and also my one woman show that I called Coexistence My Ass, to unpack and to talk about, you know, the peace industry that I grew up in that lacks the political action, that lacks the individual political choices that make us demonstrate what the alternative is, where there is lack of leadership and nobody to really look up to. I really, really believe in artists, and I believe in individuals who are making brave choices to show on the ground and to set an example of what does it mean to end the occupation, to end the genocide, to be active and to be vocal in a time where comedians are making genocide jokes on stage. And also in the U.S., comedians are helping get Trump elected. In this rise of fascism, I really, really believe that we have a huge role to play. It's not a matter of coexistence not being possible. I think it's a matter of coexistence. Coexistence as itself, it's a non-issue. Coexistence is a decoration. It will be a side effect when we have real equality, when we have real justice. It's not about measuring right now if coexistence will never be possible. It's about just putting this word coexistence that is, you know, just like Trump is able to make peace. It's nothing. It's meaningless. And put in the front of the stage, and I believe this is what this film is doing, what does coexistence really mean? How can we talk about coexistence when we are actively erasing the existence of Palestinians every day? And so I want to demonstrate what it means to be vocal in order to set an alternative and to push against that. And so it's not a matter of going against coexistence. Nobody is against coexistence. But it will be a wonderful side effect when we achieve justice and equality.
And next, James Cahill, who is one of the few Western journalists in regular contact with Hamas leaders. He notes that it's utter malpractice on the part of all these news organizations that have not regularly been interviewing the leaders, the negotiators of Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad.
On the issue of speaking to Hamas or Palestinian Islamic Jihad, this should be basic journalistic practice. In fact, it's utter malpractice on the part of all of these news organizations that have not regularly been interviewing the leaders, the negotiators of Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. This is by default allowing the dehumanization narrative of Palestinians to just take hold. When the United States and Israel make allegations against Hamas, against Islamic Jihad, against the Palestinian armed resistance, the job of journalists should not be to just say, oh, well, they're verboten. We can't speak to them. Our job should be to say, let's fact check these governments. Let's talk to these people. And when the U.S. started directly speaking to Hamas in the form of Adam Bowler, who is a college friend of Jared Kushner, his former roommate, he was the special envoy on hostages. He goes and he speaks with Hamas leaders. And I spoke to those very leaders that Adam Bowler spoke to. Bowler comes out and does interviews not just on CNN, but on Israeli television saying, these guys are not what has been presented. This becomes dangerous because when you humanize people on the other side, you start to fact check a 77-year narrative of Israel that's been bolstered by the U.S. That's how actually you get a human understanding. The Palestinians have a great range of views on Hamas, and that's for Palestinians to decide. But what has been enabled by large, powerful media corporations is a total silencing of the voices of Palestinians, which is why then you end up with this cartoonish portrayal. Oh, they're just terrorists. These guys are doctors. They're lawyers. They're veterinarians.
Well,
they're chemists.
Tell us who they are. Tell us. Name them and tell us who they are.
Well, first of all, I mean, Khalil al-Haya, who is the political leader in Gaza of Hamas, was a top aide to Yahya Sinwar, the former leader of Hamas who was assassinated by the Israelis. And Yahya Sinwar himself, all of these guys, their biographies, they grew up in a concentration camp. They grew up in an open-air prison in Gaza. You could tell a biography of every one of the leaders of Hamas, including the guys who Israel says, oh, they live in five-star hotels abroad. All of them have had direct family members killed. Khalil al-Haya, multiple sons of his were killed, including one of his sons killed in the September 9th attempt to assassinate the negotiators in Qatar. Bassem Naim, another one, a doctor educated in Germany, but from Gaza. He has had multiple family members killed, including recently his son. These are all, if you can contrast the leadership of Hamas
in the bombing Qatar.
In the bombing of Qatar, you know, they failed to kill any of the senior Hamas officials, but they did kill multiple administrative staff, including Khalil al-Haya's secretary. They not only bombed, they hit with 12 missiles. They not only bombed the offices that Hamas had in Qatar at the request of the United States. Hamas was in Qatar to do these kinds of negotiations, but they hit the residence of Khalil al-Haya. They wounded his wife, his daughter-in-law, they killed his son, and they wounded multiple grandchildren, some of them very seriously.
Next, we get a report on the state of illegal settlement activity in the Palestinian territory from Norwegian Refugee Council's Jan Ingeland, who had just returned from the occupied West Bank.
I was there 3 years ago, the last time. I've been there now for more than 30 years altogether. And I was shocked to see how many new illegal settlements are strategically put on all hilltops in large parts of the countryside in the West Bank, at the same time as the thugs, the violent settler gangs from these settlements attack every single day Palestinian rural communities, very vulnerable Bedouin communities, torch their houses, torch their mosque, their school, steal their livestock, and divert their water. So you see how the place is annexed and the occupation deepens, because this is occupied land every single day now, and it's changing as we speak. After the 7th of October, 2 years ago, when Hamas did these atrocities, horrific atrocities in Israel, I think the settler movement felt they had a free hand to do whatever they wanted on the West Bank, and it happened in the shadows of the war in Gaza.
And what do you make of the vote in the Knesset around the annexation of the West Bank? You just heard Vice President Vance saying he took it as a personal insult and Trump saying it's not going to happen. But it happened. The vote happened.
It did happen. And of course, ministers in the Israeli cabinet are very outspoken on their ambition to annex formally the West Bank. And we're very glad that President Trump, Vice President Vance, Secretary Rubio all say it will not happen. There will be no formal annexation of the occupied land on the West Bank. In reality, a lot of things are happening on the ground. So, I mean, every single day, Palestinian houses are demolished. Every single day, the communities are attacked. Every single day, people are beaten up. Thousands of olive trees are uprooted. I mean, it's happening as we speak. And I would encourage, really, U.S. and European and other decision makers to take a tour with us and see what's happening in the West Bank, because the injustice is just enormous.
And next, UNRWA spokesperson Tamara Arafura speaks about the Trump-backed ceasefire and the aid groups who must have unrestricted access to Gaza and who need to be allowed to flood the territory with food and other basic supplies.
The most important thing for us at UNRWA to reiterate is that we're the largest humanitarian agency in action in Gaza, and we have never stopped providing medical assistance, managing the shelters, disposing of solid waste, pumping and trucking clean drinking water throughout this conflict, and despite the ban by the government of Israel on international staff. 12,000 Palestinian staff members of UNRWA, men and women, have continued to work in Gaza, and that is why our services never stopped, even though international personnel and the goods, the supplies, the foods, the hygiene kits, the tents of UNRWA have been banned of going into Gaza. So for the last 10 days, and with the ceasefire, the fighting has subsided in many parts, which has allowed a lot of people in Gaza to start moving back to check in on their homes. But more than 90% of housing units in Gaza are destroyed, and these people are going to need immediate, urgent shelter and shelter material, including winter clothes and blankets, in the coming few weeks. Meanwhile, although the agreement calls for 600 trucks per day of food and other humanitarian supplies, what we've seen in the last few days is certainly an easing, so a slight increase in the number of trucks going in, but we're way, way, way below the 600. So yesterday, 281 trucks went in. On Monday, 263. That's less than half of 600.
Next, we speak with Robert Marley, co-author with Hussein Aga, of the new book, Tomorrow is Yesterday, Life, Death, and the Pursuit of Peace in Israel-Palestine. Marley is a veteran negotiator involved in previous U.S.-backed peace talks between Israel and Palestine leadership.
So, listen, there's parts of this plan that are, you know, terrible. And I could spend hours trying to eviscerate the plan in terms of its sort of neo-colonial aspects of deciding everything for Palestinians without Palestinians having a voice and allowing Israel to remain in Gaza and to decide when and how it will withdraw. So again, there's so much to be said against it. That said, so far it appears to have ended the slaughter. Much of the slaughter, most of the slaughter, and allowed, as we just heard, some humanitarian assistance to come in, and the hostages and Palestinian captives were released. So that's something that President Trump's predecessor had not been able to achieve. The next phase is, you know, we'll see. There's many reasons to be skeptical, to be pessimistic. The plan is vague, ambiguous. Again, it gives a lot of the keys to Israel to decide what and if it will do anything. But one step at a time, I think it's at least good to see that the guns have fallen mostly quiet.
Next, we go to Black Agenda Radio. Nathalie Freeman, who is an organizer in the Washington-based Pan-African community, PACA, and co-host producer of the WPF radio show. He discusses the Black Alliance for Peace, 5th Annual International Month of Action Against AFRICOM.
AFRICOM, the U.S. Africa Command, is the command center. It's one of 11 U.S. military commands that are created to assert U.S. military domination around the world. It coordinates and streamlines the operations, U.S. military operations, and all types of things that the U.S. military does on the African continent. It was begun in around or formalized in around 2007 to 2008, first under the Bush administration, and then at a time when a lot of the African countries were not accepting it and were rejecting it. I mean, mostly seemed because it was Bush offering it. But when Barack Obama came president of the United States, it seemed to be able to proliferate. So the country that had not, that didn't have any AFRICOM relationships with was Eritrea, which stays in the crosshairs of U.S. imperialism. But also, you know, recently the countries of Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali have ended their relationship with AFRICOM. And the origin of AFRICOM goes a little bit further back and is maybe more an outgrowth of the Eurocom, which was how the United States had been, you know, the U.S. Military command centers in Europe. And then so how U.S. had been coordinating its Africa operations there, and that the commander of Eurocom saw fit to actually establish a specific one for Africa, the AFRICOM. Now, the Black Alliance for Peace focuses on AFRICOM because, you know, in our beginnings, we came to oppose U.S. militarism as one of the major aspects of imperialism that needs to be exposed and needs to be confronted, and that there was very little understanding and knowledge about AFRICOM and also the U.S. military operations on the African continent, U.S. military adventures or whatever you want to call them, pursuits on the African continent. And so we wanted to raise that up, and that's what we've been doing. And so, in fact, it was our focus on AFRICOM that led to the creation in BAP of the Africa team, and then also our U.S. Out of Africa network, which is the organizing arm of the campaign Stop U.S. Out of Africa, Shut Down AFRICOM, and which that also that network has a steering committee of organizations of revolutionary to radical parties and formations on the African continent that inform our work and give us the understanding on the ground from what's happening on the ground. This year's theme and we've been doing this for 5 years, so this year is the 5th International Month of Action Against AFRICOM, under the theme now, the 21st century neocolonialism, capitalism, compradors, and the ongoing scramble for Africa. And that theme is to highlight the fact that one, neocolonialism, and 21st century neocolonialism, is one, a stage and a phase of capitalist development. It's a phase of imperialism. Actually, Kwame Nkrumah elaborated on it as the last resort of imperialism, the last phase of imperialism. And so what we're seeing now is AFRICOM being really what the imperialists have no other resort. They've already done, you know, used as much as they can the comprador classes, you know, those African elites that serve the interests of foreign powers, but ostensibly represent themselves as representing the interests of the African people. So that's compradors, and we see that the comprador class really are the ones who open the back door for imperialism.
Those were all of our pieces from Democracy Now. Coming up soon will be Ibrahim, and to give us an update on Sudan. You're still listening to Fantastic Friday on CKW 95.9 FM.
All right. I don't care if your nanny was black, or you ate grits for breakfast every morning, and you knew a girl in high school, a black girl, and she was nice. I don't care if your nanny was black, because Michael Griffiths is dead, killed by white youths who got her free, even though witnesses testified to their crime. So I don't care, you hear? I don't care because black woman Tawana Brawley was raped by four white cops who are still out on the street. And Donald Trump takes out a three-page ad in the New York Times calling for the death of six black youth accused of raping a white woman. So I don't care if your nanny was black.
Hey, good morning, Bam. How are you?
Good morning, Morgana.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Can you give us an update on Sudan?
Yeah, I will give you some information about Sudan because I don't have that. More information. Yeah, and thank you. You're asking about the Sudan. And Sudan, yeah, is still in the war and really in the bad situation. And just I try to call back home the people to offer my condolence. And I call, I spoke with them in the capital of Sudan. And also I talk with the people in area of Kordofan. And I talk many places, two or three places in area of Darfur. But the people really, they're very morning, and they're not able to talk totally, and they're really, really frustrated for what has happened to them. And yes, they'll give me some information, and I told them what I see in the social media, what I hear it, and they say yes, everything is true, but the people saying that it's not the real number is appear in the social world, the people talking, because the people is still counting, and the people is still waiting how people they went out, and people how many people to went in the main areas, in different areas. That what they told me. And just they waiting to figure out exactly how many people they know, and they come up how people are still there and how many people are missing. That is what they told me. And they all just sorrow and mourning. And yeah, and they said just they want to be able to see themselves, because they what happened to them, world knows and people knows, and what United Arab Emirates did to them with his squadron, Norman Arab people, they will see that. And now they said two things to me. They said, yes, first, they want to just gather all together beyond the leaders and being able to protect their people and protect their land. That's what they want to do. And other thing is, they want to people outsiders to know the truth and share it. They said, yes, I can pass their message to their diaspora Sudanese who they belong, and they have their families back home there to support them, but not just the only Sudan who they born by a chance in Sudan. No, the Sudanese who have the deep root there in Sudan, African Sudanese and other people, to support them, and they being able to see what they do and how they protect themselves and to protect their country, because that is something they eager to do it, and that the only message they give to me, and they just in the area to see and to see how to being able to connect with each other and to be able to gather and to see what they will go to say